open up our Bibles to Romans 8. And thanking God with the revelation of the magnificence that we were receiving last night from, I should say last week, and I'm sure last night. Praise the Lord. But in verses 26 and 27, and just to recall, the Spirit helps our infirmities. Isn't that glorious? And we know that, don't we? Matter of fact, without the Spirit, we'd be swallowed in our infirmities. But with the Spirit and with all truth, we know what those infirmities are for. We're quickened just like Brother Paul was quickened when he said, "Oh, I glory in my infirmities." He wanted the Lord to take them away. And I'm confident in understanding the truth and love that was in Brother Paul. It wasn't the things necessarily that his eyesight was poor, or maybe that his skin did not look good, or that he was aging so fast. I don't think those were the things that Paul was going to the Lord for and saying, "Lord, I need you to change this and take this infirmity from me." Oh, no. This was deep. This was the things of, I believe, Romans 7 was just around the corner, right before you got to Romans 8. And I love how he cried out to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do." You think that might have been a thorn, brother? I do. Because I know that thorn. And all of us know that thorn if you're before the Lord. And you have gone before the Lord, and you should. "Lord, if it be thy will to remove it," you know that. But sometimes he just doesn't. Sometimes he has to leave that infirmity in us, so that the glory will remain. If he pulled it, you'd be puffed up. If he pulled it, you might praise him for a moment, but then you might be exalted, which would defeat the whole purpose of you wearing a crown. Because the moment that you're exalted in your flesh, you've just laid down the crown and picked up a palm. But the Lord is faithful. And I'll tell you what, he's faithful to us, isn't he? And just when you thought you had enough infirmity, here's another cup of it. Praise be to God. And then sometimes he has to search you to show you the infirmities that you never knew. How could an infirmity like that sprout up in my life? I had that handled all the time, but there it came. Do you realize every bit of this flesh has every bit of sin there's ever been? But for God, you'd do everything and anything. And that's the truth. Give him the praise. Give him the praise for his grace. So we thank the Lord that the Spirit helps our infirmities, because we know that if the Lord leaves them there, we know there's a purpose. And we know it's a full purpose. And the purpose is that the power of Christ or the Holy Ghost would rest upon us. Amen? That's the power of Christ. Because that's why Paul said, "I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ would rest upon me." I believe you want to live a life full of the Holy Ghost, don't you? I do. Well, that's one of the facets of being full of the Holy Ghost. You're going to have infirmities, and you're going to have infirmity that you would want and rather get rid of. But then as the Holy Ghost ministers to you and that power comes upon you, then you can begin to give him joy, joy in trusting him. He might not take it away, but oh, how he keeps us in it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So what we have from 26 and 27 is through the Holy Ghost, we count it all joy when we're in manifold temptation. Amen? When we have many troubles, we count it all joy only by the Holy Ghost. You can go around trying to talk it, but it ain't real joy. I mean, you got to get to the point where you get irritated, but then the Holy Ghost gives you joy. You get a little bit beyond yourself, and then the Holy Ghost gives you joy. And then you're really thanking the Lord for the grace of God that's with you, because you know it's not you. That's the beautiful thing. Sometimes when we're just a little bit slow to get there, the Lord did it to show us in a way, really, it was him. We had to wait for him, because he's going to show himself mighty. That's why the power of God, may it be of him and not of us. That's the grace of God that is with us. So the Holy Ghost enlightening all of this shows us the beauty and the necessity and the glory of our infirmities. Yes, he does. And the reason for those infirmities is that we would be weak and we would suffer together with him. That's part of the joint suffering together with Christ. Oftentimes we get so, I like to call it maybe a fairy tale, that all the sufferings of Christ are the things that we think that are just so good and lovely. Let me tell you something. That suffering with Christ, when Paul was glorying in his infirmity that he wanted to take away, that was the greatest joy he could ever have. Amen. And it's the truth. So be thankful, brothers and sisters, that God's got you in a place sometimes that if you're starting to think it out with your brain, it ain't going to make sense, and you're just going to have to say, Jesus. That's what we know. So in these infirmities, we jointly rule and reign together with Jesus Christ, and we can boldly praise God in the full assurance of faith that we come to now tonight in Romans 8:28, and we know. Isn't that beautiful? See, of all the things that we've just gone through, okay, and all the things that are going to come, this is like right in the middle of the sandwich verse, and I love it. And we know. And you know what we know? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So if you disagree with any of the things that I just said previously about infirmities, that you think they always have to be something that's good, in a sense, in your brain, that was an infirmity, and maybe not something that actually isn't something that might not represent God in a way that the Lord has to buffet you with because it's a messenger of Satan that did it, then Romans 28 should really make it make sense. Why would he then say all things? Are all things of your life that you go through every day and all this week and all this month and all this past year, have they all been lovely? Have you been good in all of it? Have you just had absolute faith, just so perfect that, man, I'll tell you what, you just said, Lord, thank you for my faith because I've never not believed you. You know that's a lie. And I know whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So I'm really thankful for his keeping, because I'd be in trouble often. Anything that's not of faith is sin. If we want to go that way, the Lord lets you know real quick, doesn't he? But even that, when I don't believe, when I believe not, but yet he abides faithful, do you know that works together for my good? How could that not? Even when I'm not believing, he's faithful. It's working for my good. Now, I'm not encouraging you not to believe God, but there's going to be times that he's going to show you, you really need me. And it's my faith. It's the faith of the Son of God that lives in you, honey. Huh? And you better have faith in the life that lives in you, which is my faithfulness. See, I can't deny that life. I can't deny myself. Huh? Do you believe it? I pray you do, because you'll be very joyful. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I thank the Lord so much, we know. He's not letting us off the hook. Because he knows, we know. He's telling you what you are. He's telling you what you know. You don't need to tell him. He tells you. Oftentimes we talk too much. Listen to God. We try to tell him too much. Just listen to God. Let the Spirit speak through you. Let the Spirit talk to God. How's that? Amen? That's a wonderful thought. And see, we know what this is all about. We know what Romans 8:28 is all about. You know what it is? It's hyperpersuo grace. Do you remember that? Hyper grace, infinite grace, infinite grace that's beyond and never ending, and even more infinite grace and mercy. That's what Romans 8:28 is. It's just beyond. It's beyond. And we know that it's part of, we are blessed, we are blessed, have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. This is the plan, brothers and sisters, of revealing to us to lay hold of all grace. Lay hold of it. All things work together for good to them that love God. Lay hold of it. Amen. Amen. Don't just quote it, live it. Let it live in you. Let it be alive in you. And not just that we lay hold of grace, but more and more of all grace. Because that's what we have, is all grace. And once again, only the Holy Ghost brings us deeper into grace. Why can we say that? Because only the Holy Ghost takes the love of Christ and sheds it abroad in your heart. What do you think grace is? It's the unmerited, undeserved love of God. So if you've got the Holy Ghost continuing to shed it and make it like a geyser, that love, you're growing in grace. That's how you know. And that's why we rejoiced a couple Sundays ago. What is the new commandment? What is the summed up in one word? Love. Love. Don't forget it, because if you do, that's going to be hard to explain how you're abounding and abiding in first love. Amen? So we see that the Holy Ghost is the abounding, and I appreciated a brother, being encouraged of the Holy Ghost, and he looked up that word abounding. Remember, it says that the Holy Ghost causes us to abound in hope, right over there in Romans 10. And we thank the Lord how the Holy Ghost is the one that is the stirring up in us. That's why when Paul went to Timothy, and Timothy was down, and God showed Paul, Timothy's the one that's going to carry that mantle on, son. What did he first tell him? Very first thing. Stir up the gift, son. Stir it up. Which you receive by the laying on of my hands. It's the Holy Ghost. You can't deny that. People try to twist that. It's the dumbest thing. The whole purpose of Acts was all of the ones that the disciples and apostles went to. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Well, we've not even heard of the Holy Ghost. And they laid their hands upon them. And they received the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. Boom, and boom, and boom, and boom. But it's not a one-time affair. There's a strengthening in it. And I encourage daily, because I can testify of my life, but I testify of Paul's life, because he says, I'm glad I speak more than you all. So I'm confident our brother was speaking every day, and quite often in every day. It's just joyous. And it's part of the stirring. So we thank God that that's an abounding. But what the brother was telling me as he went to look that up, the very last definition of it, it says, it's when a flower goes from a bud to a full bloom. From a bud to a full bloom. Isn't that cool? And then it hit me, and sister, when you were saying about listening to the Bible on tape, I do that now when I exercise it. You want your heart rate to go up, just actually it goes down when you listen to the Word of God, except at certain passages it goes way up. But it was so sweet. Because right when he said that, where were we? We're there with Solomon, 1 Kings. There he is building the things in the tabernacle and having all the things built. Well, it talked about the pillars and all of that. Well, it said about the pillars, the carvings that were on the pillars in the tabernacle, the cherubims, the palm trees, and it kept saying, open flowers, flowers in full bloom, not buds, but bloom. Those are the ones that are with the cherubim. They're the ones that are with the palm trees. Let it just connect all over your heart. What's the Lord trying to tell you? Be in love. Be in joy. Don't try to tell the Lord or tell somebody else. And it's not fake. But you know what? You can actually be joyful. Amen. Praise God. Try not being yourself for a while. It might help. Now, the Holy Ghost assures abounding in hope. And that's the glory, praise God, and the glory that it says shall be revealed in us. We read that. We've been reading through Romans. It's the manifestation of the sons of God. It's the glory that shall be revealed. And it gives us comfort in knowing that, doesn't it? See, when the Holy Ghost ministers truth to your heart and the purpose of God, the plan of God, the promises of God, there's a joy because he gives you the faith to believe it. It all comes together, and it's like when you know you're secure, When you know and believe, you stand. When you know and believe, you're strong. You don't want to be weak in faith. You want to be strong in faith. You want to continue to hear this word. Allow it to build you up. That's what the word of his grace does. Paul said, I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. That's what we want. And that's what he's given. And that's his plan, and that's his purpose, and that's what he's doing. So we praise him for it. But see, that glory that shall be revealed, it gives us comfort in knowing that glory only comes through complete weakness, infirmity after infirmity. But now we get Romans 28, and we have the fullness of glory knowing how well it's working together for us. And again, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Those are things that we think are good or think are bad. Those are the things we think help us or don't help us. Those are the things that we think we were faithful in something and we thought we weren't faithful in something. It's all works together. It all works together. Listen to that. All things work together for good to them that love God. How glorious it is. It's just a glorious encouragement to us. And it says, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And brothers and sisters, thanks be to God. How many times have we read in the word of God, we are the called? Amen? We are the called. He's called you. Thank you. Praise God. We're the called. And I love that called here. And when we get down a couple verses here, where we go to, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. That's a different call. The calling just gets more magnificent, just like all of Romans 28 or 8 is getting more magnificent. It's amazing. Just hang in there. I'm believing somewhere in this chapter study we're there. But you know what? I want to be there. You know what I'm saying. Even before I get there in faith. Praise the Lord. But this called means they're divinely selected and appointed. So right there, and I know we know this 8th chapter. We know what's coming after Romans 8, 28. We know right after that is 29, which says, for whom he did foreknow, it says, he also did predestinate. So we're getting into the point of the foreknowledge and the predestination of everything that we've just went through. Everything that we've just heard about an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, about the manifestation of the sons of God, the glory that shall be revealed, all of those things. We've now talked about infirmities, understanding that. Then we understand now that all things work together for good to them that love God. It brings it all together because we are the ones that are called for that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. We know what the trials and the tribulations and the infirmities are for, amen, because we suffer together with him to reign with him, amen. But now he even tells you more, and by the way, we're going to break into, I gave you the grace and I saw you in love in this in ages past. Now I'm going to show you how long ago I did it. Come on. Thank him. This is tremendous. This is the assurance of grace has made my choice. So, the called. Called means divinely selected, divinely appointed. That's the called. All right? We read on Sunday that called can mean chosen, picked out, the best of its kind. All grace in Romans 8, 28, given for everything of our lives to work perfectly together for our good, and it was done before anything was created. This is where this is going. This isn't on the fly. This is already planned. This is all part of the before ordained good works that you should walk therein. It's your life. Because your life is in Christ. You think if in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that your life is some happenstance of events? Or do you think it's even more perfect than God speaking into existence all of creation? You better know the answer. Because it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But you are going to have a glorified body like unto his own. Come on. You, praise God, it's the glory that's building up here. It's going to be revealed. That's going to continue on because it's the glorious word of God that's been revealed in your life, built in your life. That's the gold, silver, and precious stone. It's coming in, and it's coming in first. Get ready, because that's the way it's going to be. Now, I want you to think about this. All things work together. That word together means in partnership. In partnership. All things of your life are working in partnership. They're working in a united fashion, one. And they're working for good, all of it together in one, for excellency and honor. Well, I'll tell you what, if he's using everything in my life for excellency and honor, I must believe and I know that it must be to magnify the grace of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. It's everything, isn't it? And it's everything about every moment, all of it in perfect harmony. You think of it like a perfect collection of instruments for a symphony. I was listening today to Mozart's 40th, that G minor. Ugh. Unbelievable. It's just so incredible. All those instruments. Oh, it was just so glorious. And then you hear the, and then the layers, and just all these instruments. Just my hair is standing up. And it just is amazing. But it's put in perfect harmony. They could come out there and they could just play each one, and it could be a disaster. But every single one of them are playing in the right key, at the right note, at the right moment, at the right volume. And then it's one stops and one plays, and they're all together united. Amen. I had to think about Monet. And like I said, you go and look at those paintings up close, it looks like a billion blotches of who knows. I told you the very first art show he ever did, that critic came out there and he said, it looks like bird poop. How you say that in French, I don't know. But that's what he said. Poo-poo. Well, one of those poo-poo paintings is, I don't even know if there's a price tag on it now. It's priceless. But what happens is as you step back, you see that every one of those little blotches and splotches that seem to be nothing and an accident or a mistake actually come together in a perfection, in a unity, united in a partnership that creates a masterpiece. And that's you. Because Romans 8:28, that took 1 through 27 and put it in a format of, do you get it? Everything we just talked about, everything that is just so high, the joint ruling and reigning, the glorified together to get with him, just so out of this world. And for just a moment from 27 to 28 and the infirmities were hitting, you said, oh, but there's just no way because I look what I did today. And then Romans 8:28. But I worked that together for honor and glory because you're my masterpiece. So I say, just let the Holy Ghost in this put it all together. It has to be all together. These isolated verses are wonderful. Let the Holy Ghost bring it all together. Now, every moment, perfect harmony. Sometimes you got to take a few steps back. Let him take your breath away. We can get so fond of a tree that we think is beautiful in a forest, but then you look at another tree and the, ooh, that one doesn't look real good. But I'll tell you what, you get really back far enough away and you look at that forest, it's a masterpiece. And every tree that you didn't think was right or with this, sometimes the dead trees, as you're looking way back on them, they put in a color onto the green, and then there's gold, and the aspen's white, and the bark can be black, and everything is just gorgeous. But you have to see it in the fullness. Romans 8:28 takes the fullness of it. It takes you away from an event and puts it in the total. It takes you away from the moment to moment, day to day, that he's got control of, that he works together in a symphony, amen? And all it has on your mind is the finished product. He will perform the good work which he's begun in me. He will perfect it. He will accomplish it. That's what he wants. He wants that faith. All the moment to moment, we know those moments are going to be, as the Word of God says, but don't call them strange, so they must be strange, but don't call them that. Because they're perfect. Don't call them good or bad. Call it, he works it together for my good. Amen? Stay in faith. Stay in faith. And the most holy set apart faith. And this is seeing that new man. And we're called for this. Now he has had it all planned in him for you. In beginning, in Christ, in love, before the foundation of the world, you are it. You're called, you're picked out, you're divinely selected, you're appointed. Praise be to God before time for that purpose. Ephesians 1:4. Thank God. Ephesians to Romans, Romans to Ephesians, not a bad way to go. According as he hath chosen us in him. How much clearer could it be? Paul's talking to us. Praise the Lord. He is our apostle. Listen. Praise God. And he tells you, according as he hath chosen us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world. He divinely appointed you. Get bold in faith, because we're coming to it. He foreknew. It's not that he chose some and rejected some. That's not our God. It was there for all. He said, I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. So don't try to distort words here. But because he's God, because of his foreknowledge, he knows what you're going to receive. He knows what you'll believe. That's why we're here receiving this high calling message tonight. And I don't have to go and get milk. I don't have to try to find truth through a garbage can. Thank the Lord. But it says that he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. That's all he wanted. He wanted us just to put us in love. See us in love. That's our God, and he wants us to see him back that way. That's why he says, all things work together for good to them who love God, who love him, that love him. Isn't that beautiful? We love him. So I think this thing is about love. The purpose, praise God. Let's go back to Romans 28, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we know the called are divinely selected. They're appointed, praise God, the best of its kind. The called according to his purpose. That's so beautiful, because let's remember that word purpose, it means shewbread. It's the shewbread that was on that wonderful little table, the golden table that was in the holy place that had the shewbread on it. All right, that's the shewbread on that table. And remember, when you walked in to the holy place from the tabernacle, the very first thing that you would see is you would see the golden candlestick. And the golden candlestick represents the Holy Ghost. And without the light of that Holy Ghost shining, you'd never see any of the other items there in the holy place. And the very first thing that you see is the golden table. And remember we said, it's a tiny table. It's a table that only two could sit at and feast. But the shewbread means to set in plain view. Isn't that gorgeous? Isn't that what the Holy Ghost does for us too? See, the Holy Ghost sets the Word of God in plain view, doesn't it? It enlightens the eyes of our understanding. That's why it's the candlestick. We can see. Without the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to see. Not those, yea, those deep things of God. That's by His Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's why Romans 8 is all about the Holy Ghost taking us through all these things. It has to be Him. It must be Him. So the Holy Ghost sets in plain view for us to see. But then the Holy Ghost working in us sets us in plain view for all to see. And we read about the plain view, the purpose of God, and what's going to be the manifestation of the sons of God. The mature sons are coming forth. He's going to make known to all that He has loved His wife. Oh, yes, He is. All creation's groaning. Praise God. The liberty that's going to set forth in her liberty, all creation's waiting for that one. Thank you, Jesus. So we rejoice together that this is our purpose, to set in plain view. That's why it's called the apocalypse that we're waiting for. Everything's about that unveiling, the manifestation of the sons of God. That veil's going to come off. Oh, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But once again, we know. Oh, yes, we know. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Amen. The veil's coming off. And yes, it is. Oh, and He's going to let it be known. He's going to set us in plain view for all to see. The sons of God, and it's the work of the Holy Ghost in us, brothers and sisters. The purpose, that means selected out as well too. Grace has determined. Now we went over, just turn the page, Romans, well, you don't even have to turn the page, Romans 9. I love this on Sunday. See, grace has determined it. Grace has made the choice. Grace always makes the choice for every child of God. Whether you know it or not, grace has made that choice. Romans 9, read from verse 9. For this is the word of promise. As this time will I come, and Sarah will have a son. Amen. Did Sarah have a son? Was her womb dead? Oh, yes, it was. But did she have a son? Oh, yes, she did. Did she laugh in unbelief? Oh, yes, she did. But did she see that son come forth? Oh, yes, she did. And named him Laughter, Isaac. Praise be to God. Oh, yes. And why did that happen? Because it was God's promise. She didn't fully believe. But grace chose her. How does that work? You mean the Lord foreknew her heart, that she was the one, even in her unbelief? You think you got a chance? Oh, you don't realize, praise God, where you're seated. Come on now. I think you do, though. For this is the word of promise. That's our word. At this time will I come, Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, oh no, all the word of God's coming forth. But when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born. Now we're talking about Esau and Jacob. So there they are in that womb. They're not even born yet. Neither have done any good nor evil. So these kids weren't born. Nobody saw any good or evil. They didn't see how they were going to work out, didn't how they're going to raise, who is going to grow up right, wrong, indifferent, or anything like this. But these children were not yet born. Neither did they do good nor evil. That the purpose of God, according to election, there it is, the calling, the elect, the best of its kind, the choice. God shows, He foreknows the heart, and He's already made the choice. You're His choice. He knows your heart better than you do. That's what's so exciting. I'm banking on him, not me. I'm believing in him, not me. Amen. Now, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. See, this is that the power of God may be of God and not of us. Do you understand that? That the purpose of God according to election, his choice, might stand, not of works. See, there it is. These kids didn't even have to do good or evil or anything like that. He'd already chose. He already knew. It was already done. So it would be of election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. There it is, that calling again. Just be thankful he called you. And let me tell you something, that is enough. That's enough. He called me. That's enough. Hallelujah. Because he's going to do it. I'm his workmanship and he called me. That's enough. Now, that the election might stand not of works, but of him that calls us, it was said unto her, the elder is going to serve the younger. As it was written, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Before they were ever born. Before any of them did good or evil. Our God foreknew. And you have to think of Jacob. Jacob didn't even want that birthright. He didn't. His mother pressed and got him to go in there. Oh, mom, you sure? And what did his mama, who represented grace, honey, if there be any blowback on this, let it fall on me. Just get in there. It's yours. You're called. We don't hesitate. We get in there. Praise the Lord. I thank God for that. Don't you? I love it. Praise his name. That mantle's mine. Be like Elisha. Praise be to God. It's yours. Because he called you. And the reason you know he called you is because you know this promise is yours. He gave you that faith by grace to believe this. He's appointed you for it. That's why you hear this message. You understand? Amen? It wasn't of him that work. It's of God that calls. It's of God that calls. And he called you. You would not be here tonight if he didn't call you. Oh, hallelujah. Take that, old legality. Now, so we see here, it wasn't based on works. It's God's foreknowledge and predestination of grace. Grace's choice for the promise. Everything, brothers and sisters, was determined before creation. Everything. Everything coming forth is just the manifestation of the Word of God. Don't you go worrying about Pharaoh, Moses. I already chose him for this evil. That's it. Because I foreknew how hard his heart would be. And I'm going to harden it more. And he's going to magnify me in his hardness. Because my word's going to bring you out. It's everybody, honeys. Don't you think? He appoints the wicked for the day of evil. Do you understand that? He's in control. I mean, total. So, he saw us in love before the foundation of the world. In that everything for us then came forth, right? He created time for us, everything for us. He spoke all things into existence for us, for the glory that would be revealed in us. He made it perfectly fertile, exactly, to the degree of the evil of man that's in the world today. We wouldn't shine before him and have this glory built in us without all of it ordered. Amen. Rest, honeys, rest. The glory of his grace that would be praise God, the glory of his grace, that's us, that we would be to the praise of his glory throughout all eternity. That's just remarkable. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory's going to praise that grace, Christ in you. Glory's going to praise it forever and ever and ever and ever. Now, as we close this tonight, I said, Lord, it's like it's popping up everywhere. Everywhere we keep reading this. Everywhere you're just continuing to bring it forth. It testifies to us over and over and over. And we need to rest. We need to rest. We need to trust the Word of God. We need to trust grace's choice. We know we're called. We know we're chosen. We know we have been selected out. We know by grace, grace has made us the best of its kind because we have the most holy faith. That's just the grace of God that's with us. You know that you couldn't get puffed up about this. You can't. Because the Lord's so faithful to make you so infirm. You're a perfect wreck. Total. For him to drive it all the way home. You're a perfect mess to be brought into plain view as his masterpiece. To make all know that I've loved thee. That we will descend from heaven having his glory. And his light, which will be our light. The sun glory of God. You got to be pretty transparent for that, I think, don't you, honey? Now, here's the purpose. That plain view for our crowns to be set. Let's go ahead and read it together. We read it Sunday. Ephesians 1. Yes, it is just so glorious. Oh, my. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things. That's the manifestation of the sons of God, honey. That's all creation's groaning for this. He's going to gather it together in one. He's going to show it off to all. He's going to gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Oh, yes, we sure have. Being predestinated. Oh, yes, we have. And yes, we are. According to the purpose, there it is again, to be set in plain view of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we will be to the praise of his glory. Do you think we're going to receive a little bit of that? Standing with him in the midst of the throne of glory and having our beloved friends, those Old Testament worthies of faith, cast their crowns and say to our blessed Lord, thou art worthy to receive glory. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Oh, I pray we are. Now, as Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Well, you know what? Let's go back to 6. Let's see how he got to 8 and 9. By the power of the Holy Ghost. He says, wherefore, Timothy, I put thee in remembrance. Stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Stir up the Holy Ghost, son. Come on now. Let go of you. Step into me. Let's go. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Nope. But of power. That's the Holy Ghost. The spirit of power. and of love. That's the Holy Ghost. Takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in our hearts. Amen. And a sound mind. Now, how does the Holy Ghost give us a sound mind? Because we have power and love in truth. See, when you have truth and love, you have a sound mind. Solid. Doesn't move. It's at peace. It's resting. Because it knows the love of Christ. Oh, yes, it does. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Glory in them infirmities, son. Come on. Who hath saved us? I'm seeing another word here. And called us with a holy calling. Oh, he doubled up on it, didn't he? And he really emphasizes again, not according to our works. Notice how he always gets that in? See, it's easy to gravitate back to clipping the pinky fingernail again. Somehow the perfect finishing is something about my flesh. No, it ain't. And you get away from that. I don't care who preaches that. Get away from it. I don't care how long and how much they've preached. And I'm telling you this, get away from it. Do not give ear to hearing anything that would ever magnify your flesh. You do not want to jeopardize one moment being found not only having his righteousness. When those thoughts come, hit your knees. When you start to hear that, get up and leave. And I don't care who it is. I will not be respectful to legality. Amen? Amen? We don't have time for that. That's the most despicable thing to the lover of our soul. You could not disparage my spouse any more than that. And by the grace of God, I will not stand for it. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, of me a prisoner. Be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. It's according to me setting it in plain view, and the only thing I'm going to set in plain view is the masterpiece of my grace. That's what's going to be in plain view. All the splotches, they're coming into plain view because you're going to have everybody standing back to see, this is whom I love. This is her. This is the one who trusted in grace. Hallelujah. Now bow down and worship before her feet. Amen. Amen. You best get excited about that place. If it's really yours, you better get excited about it. So he said, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ when? Before the world began. All of it was already there. All of it was already given. All of it was already purposed. All those good works were already planned out that work together for good. Your life, your total life, everything about you. Your downsetting, your uprising, your thought afar off. All of it. Yes. All of it. Hallelujah. He purposed and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We began with no condemnation. Amen. There's therefore now no condemnation. Then he assures us we're heirs and joint heirs. Then he shows us and tells us, I'm going to bring you forth the apocalypse, the manifestation of the sons. Hallelujah. And you're going to have infirmity all the way through. It's required. Rejoice. And now the perfection of it all, you're called to it. You're predestinated in it. And we're going to read, if we get to next week, You're even already glorified in it. You think you got some blessed assurance Jesus is mine? I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me and has been toward me before the foundation of the world. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise God.